Good morning, and thanks once again for being with us this morning. Today, we're going to continue in our series, James, A Faith That Works. And this morning's message is entitled, We're All the Same. So let's begin. We're going to begin in chapter 2 of James at verse 1, and it says this in James chapter 1. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom of he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the law except one is guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not commit murder. So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. There's a lot contained in that, in those verses this morning. But again, I want to concentrate in what James was talking in an overall broad sense of how we treat others. Do we discriminate based on, and James uses the example of poor and rich, but we can carry that out to more than just poor and rich. Do we discriminate people based on race? Do we discriminate people based on religious background? Do we discriminate against people based on any number of things that happen in our world? And James, again, is just using the example of rich and poor here, but when we research, we can get into that this is more than just that. That's the example he's given. In James's time, people discriminated based on Jew or Gentile as well. But I want to just look at this really quickly this morning and give you a few thoughts. And the first thought is fairly simple. We cannot discriminate. As the children of God, what James is telling us here is we cannot discriminate against others. We cannot judge others based on what we see. Because, again, we don't know the hearts of people. And we can't discriminate because God doesn't discriminate. You see, we all know and we say it all the time, God loves everyone. God loves everyone equally. And that's, we'll get into that point in just a few minutes. But God loves people. God does not discriminate against people. If you want scripture to back that up, we can look at Acts chapter 15. And the apostles were trying to figure some things out and figure out what to do with Jews and Gentiles and so on and so forth. And in verse 7 of Acts chapter 15, it says this, at the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood and addressed them as follows. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to the Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts the Gentiles, or accepts Gentiles, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. You see, God doesn't want us to discriminate because he doesn't discriminate. what Peter is saying here is, God chose me to go to the Gentiles. God blessed the Gentiles and filled them with the Holy Spirit, just as he filled the Jewish believers, the Jewish people who converted to Christianity. So God, if God doesn't discriminate, why should we? Our job as believers is to become more like Christ. Our job is to become the image of Christ. Not our job, our duty, our responsibility. Again, we're talking here in James about living out our faith. If our faith isn't changing the way we behave, then is it really faith at all? That's the whole point of this book, and we're going to get to some of that next week as we get into the bottom, the second half of James chapter 2. Excuse me. But here, we're in the early church, and already there's this problem of discrimination going on. Now, to me, when I started to actually look at the research, and Pastor Dan said this a couple of weeks ago in his introduction, James was written in about 50 AD, give or take a few years. Some people will say as early as 45 AD, some will go into 53, 54. We'll call it 50 to, that's what most scholars would believe. And he's already writing to believers about the discrimination that's going on within the body of Christ, within the church. Now, you have to think about that with me for a second and understand that Jesus was crucified somewhere between 33 AD and 36 AD. Again, scholars disagree on the exact date. But if we take 50 and just subtract 35 to call it, to round the numbers off, we're only 15 years out from the death and resurrection of Christ. We're only around approximately 15 years out from the upper room experience. We're only approximately 15 years out from where the church all kept everything as a community and lived together and shared everything. And now, some 15 years-ish later, we now have discrimination going on in the church. That scares me. And by the way, I will say the church has not fixed this in some 2,000 years since this time. And you see, I kind of think this is what's going on in the early church, and I believe this as you read it, is the world is influencing the church. The same way our world influences our church today. And understand this, the world's ways don't work. The world's ways have no place in the body of Christ. They have no place in the church. We should be completely and totally different from our world. And it should be obvious and notable that we live differently. You see, we can't follow the world's ways as the church. We can't do things the way the world does things. Because guess what? The world's ways lead to stuff like discrimination, lead to giving special place to the rich and shunning the poor. And it happens. Human nature is we want to follow the world, but we can't do that. Human nature is to look down on some people and highly on others. That's called discrimination, and we cannot, as a church, follow the world's ways in this. John, 1 John chapter 2, 15 says this, and it's our encouragement not to follow the world. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Stop with me for a second there. If we love the world, if we want to follow the world's ways, then we truly don't love God, is what's being said here. Take that in for a second. If we want to love what the world does and follow the world's ways of doing things. What the scripture says is we truly don't love God then. That's an interesting way to think about it. Again, we'll continue on in verse 16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Again, John is saying here, if you love the world, you don't love the Father. And what does that lead to when it comes to our eternal life? We need to, as the church, separate ourselves from the world. We need to, again, we have to live in it. I'm not saying you don't go to work. I'm not saying you don't go to the grocery store. I'm not saying you don't have friends in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But if we attach ourselves to the world, forgetting the things of God, we put ourselves in a very, very precarious place. And again, the world's ways don't work. Look at what we're going through in society right now. It's proving that the world's ways don't work. But here in the early church, some of that had already begun to creep in. In the church today, let me tell you, you only have to look around and you'll see that that has crept into the church today. But that's not the way God wants us to do things. He wants us to do things His way. And we'll get to more of that in a minute. And in doing that, in following God's leading, we need to love everyone. Jesus Himself tells us that there's two commandments that are the greatest. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. We're told to love others. We need to love everyone, regardless of who they are, regardless of if we agree with their belief system, regardless if they're a different color than us, regardless if they're a different religion than us, regardless if they are a different orientation than us, we are still called to love them with the love of Christ. We are still called to care for the people around us. Our world would tell us differently. And again, part of that is what's blowing up right now in our society. Our world with us, only love those who are like you. For how long has the church been like that? We've only shown love to those who are fellow believers, who are fellow Christians, when we're told to love everyone. As I said, Jesus told us it's one of the greatest, the two greatest commandments, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, not just below, but equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. We need to love everyone. We want to be able to reach our world for Christ. We can't do it by discriminating. We can't do it by putting people on different levels and how we love them. We need to love everyone. Jesus even goes on further and tells us that we need to love our enemies. That's a scary one. Our world would teach us, here's your enemy, you hate them. You stay away from them. You avoid them. You do things to hurt them. What does Jesus tell us? To love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. You want to be a child of God? We are called to love everyone, whether they be completely opposed to us or right on the same wavelength, same pathway we're on. We need to love. Love is the key. And by the way, if we don't love, Scripture is really clear. If we don't love, we don't know God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But here's the key in verse 8. But anyone who does not love does not know love, or does not know God, for God is love. You see, we say we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. And if we're a believer, we do. But then how can we not love if God, who is love, lives inside of us? If we don't love, we don't know God, is what Scripture tells us. Something to think about. And none of us, by the way, are perfect in this. I still struggle with it, as I'm sure everyone listening to my voice struggles with this. So what I'm asking today is, how do we change this? How do we love the way God wants us to love? Well, there's a simple answer. We need to be transformed. We need to be completely changed. I think of the Transformers movies when I think of this verse. Is one minute you've got a truck, and the next minute you've got a giant metal person. They transform. They become something different. Well, we in the same way, when we accept Christ, need to become something different. And this is a daily walk. This is not going to happen overnight. You don't accept Christ and become this perfect person immediately. This transformation has got to be worked out and walked out daily in our lives. But we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. And we need to be changed from the inside out. Again, James is about walking out your faith. We can't be transformed if we don't change on the inside. If our minds aren't changed, if our hearts aren't changed. For way too long, the church has taught, well, do this, do that, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. And that shows a transformed life. And I understand where that comes from. But we've got to not want to do some things and do other things, not because it's a bunch of rules, but because we want to live out this book, because our minds have been changed, our hearts have been changed. Romans chapter 12, a very familiar portion of Scripture to many of you, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Excuse me. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Again, we're getting back to they don't work. But let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We need to have our minds changed by God. We need him to change the way we think. Because on our own, guess what? We can't do it. On our own, we're going to fall back into that pattern of following the world's way of doing things. Transformation comes when our minds are changed. We see what's going on in our world right now with people protesting injustices. And I understand completely why they're doing this. But I'm going to tell you today, protests aren't going to change much. They can change some things. They can change a little. We see people trying to get governments to change things to help solve injustice. And again, that will help some. But again, our world system is broken, and it probably won't help enough. We see people getting on social media and saying all kinds of things, trying to bring change. And I believe most people, their hearts are in the right place. But all I see on my social media is people getting in fights because someone says this and someone else misinterprets it. And, you know, I have, not because I'm a great person, I have almost 2,000 Facebook followers. And again, that's wonderful. I probably know 10% of them personally, and I probably know 50 of those people well. Part of that is my coaching, and I have to have coaches and stuff to communicate for our players. But I see some of the weirdest things said on social media. And we can say it's helping create a discussion. I don't know if it's helping at all. But that's my little rant for the day, and I'll stop there. But again, when we follow the world's ways, getting back to there, we're not going to solve much. When we as the Church of Jesus Christ are transformed and our thinking is changed and our way of dealing with people is changed and we start to live out the love of God, then we will see our world changed. Because as we start being transformed, as we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to change our hearts and our minds, we are then going to be effective in loving people. Again, God is love. What does he want to transform us into? The image of Christ. Christ being Son of God, being God, was and is love. Therefore, when we're transformed into his image, we become love and we can bring change. And by the way, then we'll be effective in our witness as well. Because people see the love and experience the love and then are going to be more willing to listen to the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to see transformation in our world. We want to see our world change. We want to see discrimination go away. I'm going to tell you today, it begins with us as believers losing those worldly aspects of our lives. We need to love people. The only way we're going to love people the way God wants us to love people is to allow him to transform us, to change us, to make us into the image of Christ. When we are changed, we can bring change to our churches, to our communities, to our world. Now, you may be out there today and saying, but Pastor Paul, I don't know this Christ. That's real simple. It's as easy as saying a quick prayer and inviting Christ into our lives and then beginning to ask him to transform us, to change us, to make us into the image of Jesus. If that's you today and you need to accept Christ, even now, you can do that as I'm talking. It's as simple as asking Jesus to come into your life. It doesn't have to be some well-worded prayer. You can just say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. Make me who you want me to be. If that's you this morning, we have a button that you can click or you can text. And I forgot the word. Oh, that's the word. Thank you. The word is love. Just text that to the church number, 416-267-1189, and someone will begin a text conversation with you and help you through that process. And to the rest of us today who are believers, I challenge you today to treat everyone as equals, to love everyone as equals, to put your faith to work. Allow God to transform your mind, to transform the way you think so that you can love others the way God loves you. Take that this week. Have a wonderful week. Just before we close, I want to remind you that we have prayer coming up tonight at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Details should have already been emailed to you, and you can join us at 6 p.m. tonight. God bless you. Have a great week. Go with God's blessings.